Okay, I'm Barb Kilborn, and I have come through medicine to, you know, public health like a really kind of a circular path. I started out being interested in medical school, had three children, so sort of like put that away, got a PhD in sociology and then another one in economics, and then somehow ended up working my way back to working at Meharry Medical College as an epidemiologist and now an associate professor. So I have a real interdisciplinary background. And these people are my team. I'm quite proud that my daughter is part of my team now. She's just completed her master's in GIS, and she's been working with me. Now, I work at Meharry Medical College, where the emphasis is almost always on black-white disparities. So we are not looking at any other kind of disparities but black-white disparities. And I focus particularly on black women living inside and outside the Delta. Okay, I didn't get any money from anybody, but I'm willing to take some. Okay, so we know that the level of incidence of breast cancer has converged among black and white women. That's common knowledge now. But the mortality rate is climbing. It's on an upward trajectory for black women. At the same time, it's going down for white women. So there's this split here. This is particularly true in the Mississippi Delta counties. Okay. We also know that in the Eight Americas by Charles Murray, he identifies the America that is centered in the Delta as having the shortest life expectancy for African-American women. Other studies have shown that that African-American women in the Delta have the lowest levels of any kind of cancer screening than anywhere else in the country. So we wondered, you know, if we could find this in Medicare billings records. In 1991, Medicare started covering a biennial following the preventative task force model once they started covering screening mammography. Okay, and at the same time, a little bit later, there were a lot of community-based initiatives that were introduced into the Delta to help facilitate screening mammography. So we thought between those two things that we would see an improvement in breast cancer screening, you know, both inside and outside the Delta between 19, I have two cohorts. I have the 1992 to 1995, I need my hands here, and 2005 and 2008. So I have these two time periods that I'm comparing. And, you know, I'm really, you know, had a hunch that I was going to see improvements in screening mammography in both places, but a closing of the disparity in the Delta. So I kind of just told you that. So I looked at the effects of being in the Delta at time one and at time two, and I looked at the change and the difference between time one and time two. I'm a pretty hardcore epi person here. So this was really a unique sample. I was able to purchase 1 million Medicare billing records, 500,000 for white women and 500,000 for black women. And what this meant was there was like 217 million cases I had to go through to make an individual billing record. I don't know if anybody has ever worked with Medicare billing records. But so what we did was we picked a random sample of 500 white women and non-Hispanic white women and 500 African-American women from each county. So that was the random sampling by county. If there were not, it was 500 total. If there were not 250 women that were white, non-Hispanic, or African-American, we took all the women and then we weighted them appropriately. Okay, so we threw out the women that were over 75 because the screening guidelines become much more discretionary. It depends on other health comorbidities whether screening is appropriate or not. So we ended up throwing out women who had a prior diagnosis of breast cancer or developed breast cancer during the 4 years of our study, because we identified, you can see with the sample, we have huge sample, huge power. Okay, so what we used as our dependent variable was whether or not you had regular screening mammography. So we watched the women 4 years in time one, we watched the women 4 years in time two. And what regular screening mammography meant is they had two screening mammograms during that period, and the mammograms had to be 9 months apart to be considered screening. Okay, we use the Smith-Binman method. It sounds so easy, year and a half doing, you know, 2 seconds talking about. Okay, so we have an individual level variable for each woman whether or not they had regular screening mammography. Then, because I like to see things spatially, I created the county rates for the women so that I could map them. So each county has a rate of what their regular screening mammography is. Okay, and so here is what we use as the definition of the delta. Is anybody from the South here? I mean, the delta is the big, nobody? Okay, you know, it's the big buzzword in health disparities in the South is the Mississippi Delta. Now, if you look at all those little pieces of light green, it looks like a moth has been chewing in there. Those are counties where there were not at least 20 African-American women aged 65 to 74. So you can just fill them in. They really are part of the delta, but they're not part of our study because there's not, you know, like the sample size for those counties is too slow. Okay. And so, oops, I need to go this way. Okay, so because I had two different levels of analysis, I chose to use mixed level modeling for the first part, for the individual level records. So what I did was, if anybody else is a data nerd like I am, I used ProcGenMod, you know, with the two different levels, and the delta was my one level, and the individual level was my second level. And then I added in some variables could possibly lead to confounding, and that was segregation, low educational attainment, and poverty. And I played a little bit with insurance rates, but it, you know, that one fell out. Okay, then we did what is really fun. We did cluster maps. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this because it's going to make a lot more sense when you see them. Okay, the cluster maps are, and I put at the end, if you really are into the cluster map thing, I've got some really good 15-minute things. Okay, so what we found was at time one that women in the Delta areas were 49% less likely to obtain regular screening than women that lived outside the Delta. So they're roughly half as likely, which I thought was both substantively significant as well as statistically significant. But by time two, that difference had declined to 25%. Okay, so the idea that the Delta women were less likely holds for time one and time two, but the disparity seems to be, you know, getting a little bit, you know, better over time. Here are the odds ratios with the confidence intervals. You can tell I'm a number nerd. Adding the potentially confounding variables really didn't do much to change the effects of the delta. That surprised me a lot, I thought. And because low educational attainment, which was measured as the percentage of black women in the county that have lower than high school education, 25 plus, and segregation, I used the Arizona Geocoding Index for racial segregation. And I also used a poverty level. I couldn't put it in the same model, but the poverty level actually behaved exactly the same way. This coefficient, which is the one of interest, did not change whether I used poverty or low education. Okay. So now the question is, you know, what, it, you know, like the Delta, what is it about the Delta? It certainly has a rich cultural tradition. It certainly has a lot of meaning in the Southern context, but is the Delta really target the area that has the lowest rates of mammography screening? So this is what you'll like. Here's the map. Okay, so I think your Texas thing is over here, okay? So these are African-American women. So your Conococcia is over here. The brighter the blue, the better the uptake of screening mammography. The brighter the red, the worse. And this was in time period one. So what you have is, you do have an area that goes in the delta, but it really expands from Dallas-Fort Worth, for those of you who are familiar with it, all the way to the Atlantic with South Carolina kind of getting better. So this is for screening uptake. Now, even though we're also concerned about breast cancer, it's still a really rare disease. So getting enough cases of mortality per county is problematic for analysis. But this is what I was able to come up with. So I was happy to see that at least one area of the screening, of the low screening, corresponded with high mortality. It made me feel good that actually maybe screening is related to mortality. Then there was this random thing up from Washington, D.C. down into Virginia and North Carolina. Okay, and this was in time one. Okay, time two, you can see that there was tremendous improvement in screening mammography in the South. And so, you know, I'm really interested. South Carolina is never recognized as a bastion of progressiveness, and it's poor. It's poor there. So why are they doing so well? So what we have is not necessarily just the Mississippi Delta. What we have is this region of the Delta and then into East Texas. And I'm going to tell you that East Texas is the worst. We have screening mammography rates in much of western Louisiana and East Texas that are less than 30%. Okay. And the mortality now starts to coincide a little bit more with the screening. Okay, correlation between the two at the county level. You see that there is a correlation. The correlation was stronger at time one, less strong at time two, more significant because you have a little bit more power. So this is just, you know, like, it just is kind of a common sense check. You would expect that areas that had higher screening would have lower mortality, and that's what this shows. Okay, so the strengths and limitations of the study, there's so many limitations. One of the limitations is that all of our socioeconomic characteristics had to be mapped on at the county level because Medicare billing records gives you nothing personal about the individual. So you have to kind of tease it out. I did my best by not just using the county poverty rate, but the black female poverty rate. So I did my best to try to correct for that. So when we exclude women that develop cancer, they may have been regular screeners up till that time, but because of left-hand censoring, because of when we started watching them, they don't get counted. They get thrown out of the study. And that might actually be depressing our rates of screening. But on the positive side, I think that we have one of the most accurate ways of identifying screening mammography from the physician billings files. It's really all, it's both physician and facility billing files. And we have lots of checks and cross-checks. Okay. We have a really large sample size, blessing and a curse, but a really large sample size that allows us to really determine small effects. Now, I'm going to talk about one other limitation that gets into this health messaging thing. Just as we got funded to do this, physicians started backing off of screening mammography for women 65 to 74. The Preventive Task Force is still, and also the American Cancer Society, is solidly saying that women 65 to 74 should get regular screening mammography by their definition. But yet, in the literature, if you start looking, they start saying, like, okay, women that, you know, women that develop breast cancer at 65 are more likely to die with breast cancer than from breast cancer. So, you know, that kind of makes me a little unhappy because this is the age category that I'm working on. I want to get the Hispanic data so that I can have a full set. Okay, so what do I want to say about this? I want to say that, you know, when we categorize Delta counties in the way that I showed you with the green map, you know, we do see that mammography is less than other parts of the U.S. We do see that that disparity got a little bit less over time. But the one thing that I really want to kind of go for is that an area like the Delta gets defined as a region, and then that region becomes real. What really is the Delta? And the Delta is not the worst area. So actually, all of the initiatives that were put into the Delta actually, you know, did help in the Delta, But the areas outside the Delta that weren't targeted for those regions actually didn't get the resources, and their rates were absolutely the worst. They were abysmal, although some places in Mississippi were pretty bad too. But mostly it's at East Texas, West Tennessee. And if you've ever driven through there, when I went through East Texas down from Dallas to Corpus Christi, we got down, you know, close to Houston out in the country, and my kid said, "Mom, are we still in America?" And so but that area hasn't been able to get the kind of what I would call the political panache to bring in the resources the way the Delta has. So that's one of the things I'm advocating. Okay, so while it's great that we did all these things in the Delta, it would be nice if, you know, we had more accurate targeting about where the rates are really the lowest before we get the initiatives. Okay. I'm down with the geospatial analysis. I love it so much that my daughter had to get her master's in it. So, you know, sometimes it causes problems, but most of the time it's nice to have a geotech on demand. Okay, and, you know, again, this is, again, the Delta region resonates in the South for political, social, and cultural reasons, but it may not be the real area of the problem. And we have the same thing for Caucasian or non-Hispanic white women with Appalachia. So you talk about, I live in Nashville, and they talk about these two, the Delta's here and Appalachia's here. So white women's health is worse here, and black women's health is here. But I found places that are well outside of Appalachia where women's breast health is terrible. Okay, so the other thing that I'm really puzzled by is how come the South Atlantic region has made such strides in improving breast health in terms of screening and actually lower mortality for African American or black women. Because, you know, is it because there, can we divide it into the Old South and the New South, where the New South is where people are returning? They have worked up north, they're returning, they're highly educated. And in, you know, that's not true in most of the Delta counties. The net, you know, I thought I would capture that through poverty or something, but maybe I need to get it through in and out migration. And then the last thing, you know, like it's even possible this has come some kind of epigenetic thing. But I, you know, I'm not big on those, but that's a possibility that I need to look into. So where am I going to go from here? Well, a lot of different places. I am working on an algorithm to make conjoined counties, so when you see my maps, my maps are my favorite thing, you can tell. My map's like this. I can widen the net. I'm going to use the EEOC definition for conjoined counties, and then I can get a rate for all those missing places. And that's one step that I'm going to do. And, you know, I want to look outside of the South, and one of the things that I found is that breast cancer screening and the cancer mortality correlation that I saw that was significant for the South was not there for African American women that lived in large metropolitan areas outside of the South, like LA. So there was no correlation outside of the South for African American women's screening behavior and mortality behavior in this age group. And that's, you know, like, I don't know how much you know about it, I'm just like, know a lot about this. So that's because most of the population lives in large metro areas. I don't know if that's why, but that's the character. Is African American women live in large metropolitan areas outside of the South. The South is really the only place where you see a full continuum from rural to urban, you know, residences among African American or black women. Okay, did I go over? Okay, anybody? Do I sit down?